This is Teaching Tuesday, by the way. We told you that earlier this morning. That means we're checking in with Nancy Fitzgerald for the Biblical Worldview Question of the Week. And did you tell me, Nancy, how much snow are you getting there in Denver this morning where you are? Snow.
It's not good. Yes, we have snow. It's in the low 30s, so come to Colorado.
No.
Yeah, if you still want more winter.
You know, I've always wanted to see Colorado. I just don't want to see it that badly today.
Me neither. Makes two of us.
No, we're supposed to have a high near 80 today, but we're looking at possibility of more tornadic weather rolling in tomorrow. No. So it's just spring. No. It's crazy everywhere.
Yeah,
just crazy everywhere.
Yeah, it surely is.
So how are you rolling through this Holy Week? What are you doing for Holy Week?
Well, actually, I'm doing a lot of reading, going to go to church, looking forward to that. I love this week.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. It's mixed with such sorrow and then with the crescendo on Sunday, just celebrating the faithfulness of God. You know, Kelly, if I had one question to ask God, it would be why? Why do you do this for us? We are clearly not worth it. We're so fickle. We argue.
I know.
I cannot imagine God going through this for us.
Well, you know what gets me, before we get started this morning, since you brought that up, because I have asked him that question, because Scripture says Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Now, that tells me God knew we were going to need a Savior. Why did you even bother with us to begin with? That's my big question.
I guess God has his eyes on heaven, on eternity. It's kind of a good thing for us to think about that the sickness and the sadness and all that's going on mixed with great joy that we experience, you know, through our lives. But an eye on heaven, that a day is coming when, you know, there's no more sickness or bad memories or death or any of that. But I think with an eye in heaven, that it keeps us going. And those that have gone before us will be whole and perfect. And it's like, oh, my goodness, what's that like? But it keeps us going. And throughout Scripture, you know, there's this idea that a day is coming when, you know, to keep us going, keep us focused. So,
You know, when my father passed away, because he was in hospice care, the nurse who was attending him, this was such a sweet moment. And I know typically when you're in the process of losing someone, that's very overwhelming. And there were plenty of overwhelming moments, but this was such a sweet moment. The nurse who was attending him, it was a male nurse, was listening to his breathing. That's how they were determining, you know, where he was. Because these were the very final moments. And as my father took his last breath, the nurse turned and just kind of smiled and said, your father is seeing the face of Jesus right now. I'm like, oh. Lucky. And I, you know, it's hard to be sad in that moment. And I'm like, we are all going to enter in that moment. I thought, what joy, you've escaped this body. And we can only imagine based on what we know out of God's word. I mean, and here we are in Holy Week. And look what he's done for us. Nancy.
Exactly.
Now I'm excited.
And it comes with a price. And we just, that's why the idea of cheap grace, this idea, well, I'm not sure if I'm going to believe in him or not. I can't even imagine why God just doesn't just come down and smack a few of us.
I know. He'd have to start with me.
I know. But it's just the entitlement of so many that for some reason we deserve it, and we don't deserve any of it.
I know.
But it's so awesome to think. And even in the question today with Lazarus, how Martha's family was family to Jesus, just like you were talking about earlier. And Jesus considered it to be family for him. You know, he hung out whenever he went to Bethany, he was there. And many times, you know, he spent the night even. So It is just amazing how we see the relationship with Jesus, with his people that he created. Yeah. It is his love for those he created is something that we know nothing about.
I know. And by the way, if you're just tuning in and just joining us, we're talking with Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away Biblical Worldview Ministry based in Carmel, and we'll tell you how to get your young people involved in that because they need to learn about biblical worldview so they can defend their faith because there's plenty in this world to draw them away from it.
Right.
But let's jump into this, Nancy. Let's talk about the significance of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, because this is a story that I just, when I read it, I've got to think about Mary and Martha. They just had to be so puzzled as to what was going on. But let's start there. What was the significance of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead?
Yeah, well, I think the timing of this is perfect, of course, because Jesus was behind it. But it's significant because Jesus used this historical event of raising Lazarus from the dead to prepare the world for the most incredible miracle that is yet to come. You know, his death, resurrection, which proves Jesus is God, the world's savior. This was the dress rehearsal of this. This is an event that God used to say, hey, this is what's going to happen to me. And in Luke 10, 38, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. And not only did Martha open her home to Jesus, but to many. She was that kind of a relational person. And I like the picture that's painted in the scriptures of Martha, not just a stodgy one who was mad at her sister, but a very welcoming, amazing woman. And she lived in Bethany with her brother Lazarus and her sister Mary. They lived together. And so when Jesus arrived in Bethany, Martha invited Jesus and his disciples to her house for dinner and rest. That's what she did. And Jesus and the disciples left Bethany. After they left from Bethany to go on a journey, Lazarus became very sick. Now, here it is, his family here. He became sick, and Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus to come home and heal your, our brother, your friend. Come. And it is amazing what happens here, because having witnessed Jesus perform miracles, they knew that Jesus could heal Lazarus. He loved them, clearly. So in Mary and Martha's mind, as in our mind so many times, we expected Jesus to come and heal us, and they expected Jesus to come and heal Lazarus. But such was not the case. And Jesus stayed away for a total of 4 days. It's amazing, and you think, how could Jesus be so hard-hearted? But as we see, it's always Jesus has a bigger picture, a bigger reason beyond human understanding here. And here's what it said, that just to refresh the story in John 11. When he heard about Lazarus' illness, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, for it is God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now, he's trying to explain this to his disciples. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to the disciples, okay, now let's go back to Judea. And after he said this, he went on to tell him this. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. And his disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better." We are so human like this. We just think on such a human level. And Jesus had been speaking about his death, but the disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. Let's get up and go to him." This was just a very visual, plain beautiful way that God was teaching his disciples what was going to happen to him. And you know what? We don't get a lot of what God wants us to get clearly.
That is so true. And that's why I say that it had to be so confusing for Mary and Martha because of their relationship with Jesus. But now for us, because we can look back at that and we can see, you know, what was happening. But it's a great reminder for us, too. Even though we may not always understand in our circumstances today, we can see through that story that he is faithful. I mean, he is faithful no matter what. He does not fail us.
Yes. And even though from our human perspective, much of this, and even our own stories, it just doesn't make sense. Jesus loves and he's a healer. So we just think, and he's kind and he's caring. And the choice not to come back goes against everything the disciples knew about their rabbi. But, and this is, I think, such a key moment to remember this morning, Jesus can never go against his character. So there must have been a reason more significant that we could imagine as to why Jesus did not go immediately to his friend. John 11 reads, continues to tell the story. So when they were close to Lazarus' home in Bethany, Martha, who was grief-stricken, ran out to Jesus to tell him that Lazarus not only had died, but was buried in a tomb. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection in the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming to the world." And soon she went to get Mary, who was also saddened, disappointed, confused, and frustrated with the loss of her brother. She and some friends who were at her house went to Jesus. He was filled with love and compassion and assured them that Lazarus would rise again and live again. And though being human, he would also die again. But for this moment in time, he brought him back to see that he is the ultimate healer. And then we read in John 11:33, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said to them, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Can you imagine? Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible. And it's so true. Filled with compassion, he weeps, but he continues to do what God has called him to do. So Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave in a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. And when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped in linen strips and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes. Let him go."
Now, Nancy, what was significant about Lazarus's condition as he exited the tomb? Not the grave clothes, but his physical condition.
Yeah. And he was dead. I mean, this is the big thing. He wasn't sleeping. He was dead. And God, through the scriptures, you know, people say with the death and resurrection of Christ, well, he didn't really die. Oh, yes, he did. Yes, actually, he did. He was declared dead by the one who put the sword through his side, you know, that his heart was no longer working. And the same here. God wants it to make it very clear that Lazarus was dead. He was not swooning. He was not sleeping. But when he came out of that tomb, he didn't come as a zombie with all the zombie movies today, but as a living, breathing human being. his sickness, death, burial, and resurrection to life. This whole scenario was used by God to bring many to faith. His death and resurrection were like a dress rehearsal for Jesus' own death and resurrection. And here is when Jesus hoped that the disciples would understand that the same thing was going to happen to him. And it's just such a beautiful story that God just laid out for all to see, but especially for the disciples. And after Lazarus was raised from the dead, who returned home, and he shared with Mary and Martha, before Jesus went to the cross to die for our sins, again, he went to Mary and Martha's home. This is where Mary put the perfume on him before he went into Jerusalem. So we see this beautiful picture of Jesus considering this to be a home where he was safe with friends. And he used these people, you know, through their sorrow of losing their brother, but he used that. His friends to be those people that could carry this story forward for the world to see. And Mary and Lazarus were present when Mary poured the expensive perfume on Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. Mary knew what was about to happen to her friend. She was overcome with love and compassion and gratitude for what Jesus was about to experience on the cross, that she went to such extravagant lengths to honor him. She knew. Mm-hmm. She understood it. And few did know, you know, but Mary got it. And she was there to honor Jesus. Yeah. What an amazing story this is.
You know, we've just got a couple of minutes left as we wrap this up, Nancy. But what gets me about this story, honestly, is you would think, with everything that Jesus had done, and especially around this story of Lazarus, you would think that this would be truly such remarkable and amazing news that everybody would be excited to embrace Jesus as Lord and Savior and just be blown away by what he was doing. But that was not the case. And that just absolutely boggles my mind.
No. And it was, again, you know, the news of what happened with the chief priest and the Pharisees plotted to stop not only Jesus now, but Lazarus as well. They're going to kill Lazarus. And many witnessed the miracle of Lazarus walking out of the tomb, and the excitement was spreading. And the religious leaders knew they could not stop it. Not only must Jesus die, but also Lazarus. So the chief priest, it says in John 12, made plans to put Lazarus to death as well, because on account of him, many Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. Amazing, amazing, the significance of what God did restoring Lazarus to life really cannot be overstated. The eyewitnesses to Lazarus coming back to life would never be forgotten. Of all Jesus's miracles, this is the one that paved the way for people to understand the greater miracle. Christ came to fulfill his purpose for coming to earth, to die and to raise again, and to pay for the sins of all mankind. Understanding that God also has a plan for us, this is the thing, and he wants us to live out our purpose in life as trusting him in all circumstances, even when we don't understand the whys of God's desires for us. From Mary and Martha's perspective, allowing Lazarus to die seemed overwhelming and unfair. They learned, as we can, that God can be trusted when nothing makes sense. And we can always trust God that mm-hmm. he is in control and can lead us to bring him to glory, as he did with Mary and Martha and Lazarus and their friends. It's an amazing story that goes beyond human understanding. The love that God has for us in the way he was using this moment with Lazarus to give us a visual of what was going to happen. Wow, what a God. What a God we worship.
I am so glad that you decided to dig into this story for this particular week. You're right when you said, you know, there's such richness to this week if we're paying attention to it. It's not about getting through a week and looking forward to an Easter basket. There is so much to this week, if we'll just slow down and take the time to spend the time in the Word. Oh my goodness, yeah. It just leaves me in awe. And there's so much I want to say and so much I want to talk about, but ultimately I'm just left speechless, and that doesn't happen very often. You know, I've got a lot to say, Nancy.
You always have very good things to say. But you know, that's kind of how I felt. I did tons of reading about this, but it was just, again, God wanting to make sure that the message of his death and resurrection was understood. And that he would use his friends to be able to present this miracle is just like Jesus. And if you ever wonder if God could be our friend, there's a picture of it right there with Lazarus and Mary and Martha. He stayed with them. He was there with them. He was their friend. And it was not a casual relationship. So he was like a brother to them.
Yeah. His faithfulness
is beautiful.
He is, and this is such a story of true faithfulness, and he's not even capable of failing you, people. He's not capable of failing you. So I love this story. Listen, we mentioned we'd let you know how to get in touch with Nancy and the Ministry of Anchors Away. You'll find them online at anchorsaway.org. That's A-W-A-Y, Anchors Away. And this is a wonderful ministry to get It's a wonderful ministry to get your young people involved in high school and early college age, because I will tell you, your kids are going to be tugged at by this world, and you don't want them drawn away from their faith when they go off to college, because they will be challenged and they will learn biblical worldview and how to defend their faith. This is so important. I cannot stress it strongly enough. Visit the website, anchorsaway.org, to learn more. Get connected. If you've got questions, feel free to text us here. You know the number. We'll get you in touch with Nancy. Nancy, you have a very blessed Holy Week and Resurrection Sunday. And I hope, mercy sakes, that I get to see you soon.
I hope so too. And you as well. And yeah, it's just a great week to just nestle close to our Savior and just realize how much we are all loved.
Amen.
It's a beautiful week. It's a beautiful week. So thank you so much, Kelly.
All right. Love you. We'll talk to you soon.
Love you too. Bye.